And good evening, everyone. Welcome to another exciting Saturday Night Wine Stream and another exciting episode of Drink with Rick. I'm Rick, and tonight, well, we're going to open an Italian wine. This is kind of a red blend. Never tried it before. I haven't heard that much about it, but I've seen some reviews on it that were quite good, so we're going to give it a try tonight. We'll see what it's like. Also, we have a live open chat going on, so feel free to join us in the chat. And we may show another film by request. We'll see. I'll give a list of short films, and we'll maybe show one by request if anyone wants to request one. And, I was going to talk about Fame last week. We didn't get that far. I'm going to try and see if we can get to that one tonight. Fame, you know, it's a topic of conversation. Anyway, we're going to open taste review and pair this wine with some food. And I have some great food prepared by my lovely wife, Chi, just for this stream tonight. So we're going to see how that pairs out. And I'll give you my final review at the end of the show. Also, some birthdays. We're going to toast birthdays. We're going to toast some national days. Got a couple of interesting national days to toast. And a shout out to a Twitch streamer, fellow Twitch streamer, and also congratulations to CM Cinder. We'll talk about all that later. A lot going on tonight, so stick with it. Stick with us. Be part of the show. If you're joining me for the first time or for the 147th time, this is the 147th episode of the Wine Stream. I am Rick. This is Drink with Rick. It's a stream of consciousness kind of show. I do the show for fun, not money, for fun. So it's just kind of a kick back, relax, take it easy kind of show. The thing is, I have my show notes, and they're right here, and I have a list of items we're going to talk about, and I just mentioned them. But the show, I don't always stick to them right off the bat. I don't stick to them verbatim. Sometimes we veer off in different directions wherever the conversations take us, because this show is not about me. It's, even though I tell some stories about myself, entertaining stories, hopefully they're entertaining, the show isn't about me. The show is somewhat about the wine. The wine's a catalyst, but the show is really about you and me getting together on a Saturday night, kicking back with our favorite libations, our favorite snacks, whatever they are. It doesn't have to be wine. It could be anything you want to drink. As long as it's legal to drink and you're legal to drink it, it's fine. And just kicking back and relaxing and having a great time on a Saturday night. This show, we don't talk about politics. We don't talk about religion. We don't talk about things that tear people apart. We talk about things that bring people together. Just get in the chat and join in. CM Sanders in the chat says, howdy do, and howdy do right back at you. I have a congratulatory toast for you, CM Sanders, so stick around. And let's see who else is in the chat and Facebook. Facebook's kind of quiet at the moment, and I know that people wander in later on. YouTube, I'm checking YouTube as well, and we're live on Twitter. Now, we're live on Facebook. Facebook page is Drink with Rick. That's the Facebook page, so you can join us live there. And it's a public page, so you can join in if you like. And if you're on Facebook, you know, if you're not on Facebook, no worries, because we're also on YouTube. YouTube is Drink with Rick. We're also on Twitch. If you're exclusive on Twitch, if you're exclusive to hanging out on Twitch, we're on Twitch as well. Twitch is Drink with Rick and the number one. It's all one word. So you go to twitch.tv/drinkwithrick1. We have a live chat going there. And we're also on Twitter. Twitter is @DrinkWithRick. Now, you can also join in on the website. The website is drinkwithrick.com over here. I get a little discombobulated here where this lower third is. Drinkwithrick.com is the website. Now, I don't have a live chat going there, but if you click on the post that this show is being displayed on, you'll get a comment box down below it. Put in your comments. I'll respond in kind. It won't be tonight. It won't be right away, but it will be when I get a chance to, because it's not live like the chats are. Maybe one of these days we'll try to get a chat on the website. That would be pretty cool. Not there yet, but you know, one of these days. perhaps. Also the podcast. Don't want to forget the podcast. If you can't watch now or watch later, you can listen passively to the podcast. The podcast goes out Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern. It's the podcast version of this show. It goes out at Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern time, and it's available from Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, TuneIn, Stitcher Radio, Blueberry.com, iHeartRadio, Deezer, Amazon Music, PodcastIndex.org, PodcastIndex.org, or by email. Now, if you go to DrinkWithRick.com, click the blue button under the subscribe section, and click on by email. Put your email address in the box, in the field there, and you will get the latest episode of Drink with Rick as soon as it drops. And no salesman will call. This is not for anything else except subscribing to the podcast. And you can unsubscribe at any time, but please don't. Please don't. Also, you can buy me coffee if you like. We have a Buy Me Coffee there where you can support the show by buying me a coffee or two or three or five or whatever. All those proceeds go for paying for the prizes that we give away on the show, okay? Trust me, it costs me a lot more to do this than you can buy me coffee for it, really. You can try, but trust me, it costs a lot more than that. Anyway, so let me tell you about this wine. Now, before I do, let's go back in the chat for just a moment. And Ed's here. Ed is in the chat. My good friend Ed is in the chat. Ed here for a moment or two. Well, Ed, stick around as long as you can. Also, you know, if you can, stick around. If you really want to see the Damn film, D-A-M-M-E, I'm not cursing, you can stick around. Well, I'll maybe show that tonight as well. So D-A-M-M-E, okay, for anybody, any of the bots that are streaming and are saying, uh-oh, he's cursing. No, I'm not cursing. That's the name of the film. So, anyway, I'm glad you're here, Ed. Stick around. We're going to have some fun. And let's see on Twitch, CM Sinners and the Twitch. And who else is in? We have people watching on Twitch. Feel free to drop in and say hi if you'd like. If you don't, that's fine. It's no pressure, no worries. But if you like, you know, just drop in and say, tell me how you're doing. Tell me how things are going with you. Okay, so this is the wine that we're going to open tonight. This is called Susamaniello. The whole title here is Ruggero di Bardo. Ruggero di Bardo, Susamaniello. It's a 2020. This is a Puglia wine, and I've got the information on the back. Not a whole lot, but I'll read what's there. Ruggero di Bardo, Puglia. Is Susamaniello red wine. It's a 2020 bottled by Femar Vini SRL. And it's from Roma, Italia. Imported by a Dacchino Italian Importing Company Incorporated, Duarte, California. It is a product of Italy. And there is 14.5% alcohol by volume, ABV, in the 750 milliliter bottle of wine. Now, let me tell you something for just a moment about Dacchino Italian Importing Company. If it sounds familiar, we have indeed had wines from them before. They're an import, and they import a lot of Italian wines, but they import a lot of wines to Trader Joe's. This is where I actually purchased this wine. If you look at the bottle, it's a little unusual. It's a lot squattier, I guess you could say, lack of a better term at the moment, than most bottles of wine are. It's a shorter, stouter bottle, kind of shorter and stouter, kind of like me. A little self-deprecating humor there. But it is a wine from Italy. Now, here's the thing about these wines that come from Italy that are imported by this Dacchino company, they have their own labels for, I think, they have a few wines that they sell at Trader Joe's under kind of like their own label, and then they have, I think, Chianti's and things like that. They are very, very price competitive, let me put it that way. They're very economical wines, but they're actually very good wines, which is kind of surprising. Now, Trader Joe's, I guess they exclusively distribute to Trader Joe's. And I have found these wines to be very, very good as far as the price range is concerned and the value for these wines. So they're some pretty decent wines. And I think we've opened a couple of them in the past. So I'm looking forward to trying this one out tonight. Also, let me show you what we have to pair it with. My lovely wife, she has prepared this platter of food to pair with. We have some steak, which she marinated earlier today, and I grilled on the grill earlier this evening. Yes, I did grill it myself. Okay, I didn't leave it for my poor wife to do. She has enough to do already. Actually, she grilled the fish, and I grilled the steak. And we have some spaghetti and meatballs, which for an Italian wine, this should go well with that, right? And this is from Buco di Beppo. Buco di Beppo, the restaurant. Leftovers, of course. And it's always leftovers, right? The cheese, we have some cheeses. We have this is the Cracker Barrel cheddar. It's a sharp cheddar. We have the Trader Joe's Double Cream Gouda. And we have, we've had this a few times, the Creamy Toscano with Merlot. That little edge there is the purple edge. There is the Merlot on it. And this is what we have to pair it with. Oh, yeah, there's a little garnish there. I think that's some of my wife's mint. She has, she actually has some live mint, mint plant that she takes the mint off there. So she has a little mint garnish there. It's very, very nice. Very nice presentation, as a matter of fact. So we're looking forward to trying this out. Before I open the bottle, let's go back to the chat for just a moment. And Dan's in the chat. It's great to see you, Dan. Thanks for being here, by the way. Dan, thank you very much. He says, hey, Rick, cheers to you on this magnificent Saturday evening. And cheers to you, too, Dan. I hope you're having a great evening, having a great night. And tell me what you're drinking or what you're not drinking. You don't have to be drinking anything. You can be snacking if you want. I've got to show you something that I showed you a couple of pieces of it last week, but this is what we're going to use to open. Now, normally I have my mechanical corkscrew here. We're not going to use that tonight. We're going to try this again. This is the entire set. We tried it out last week, but this is the entire set that my wife gave me for the holidays, and it's rechargeable. It's a charging base here, and then it has these. And I don't have a charger plugged in, but usually when it's plugged in, it's all glowing. It all has this blue glow around it, which is really cool. And of course, I have the foil cutter, and I have the bottle opener, and then this is what I was telling you about before. This is the suction thingy. So you can recap it, and we're going to try it. Maybe we'll try that tonight, see how that works, if there's any wine left. And, of course, the aerator. Now, we did use the aerator last week because I couldn't find my other one. I did since find the other one. We're not going to use that one. We're going to use the one from this kit, and this should be a lot of fun. We'll give it a try and see how it works. We're going to start off. Actually, before we do. Oh, and Amy's in the chat. Amy, great to see you in the chat on Facebook. She says, good evening, Rick. That's a nice set. Thank you. Thank you. I've really enjoyed it so far. Supposedly, this item can do, once it's fully charged, it can open up to 30 bottles of wine on a charge. I have not tried that yet. I've opened maybe 8 bottles with it. And then I put it back on the charger and recharged it. So, yeah, it's. I'm trying. Maybe one of these days I should try to see if I can open 30 bottles with it, not all at once. But Dan says it's a Gascon Malbec night, beautiful wine set. Hoping we can discuss Legos tonight. Oliver would like to get in on the chat. Well, Oliver, come on in on the chat. Sure. You're having a Gascon Malbec. Okay, let me see. Do I have an empty bottle of that back here? No. Let's see. I had one. What do I do with it? I had an empty of Gascon. We reviewed it, I think. some weeks back, the Gascon Malbec. And it was a good wine. I really enjoyed that. I like a good Malbec anyway, but I thought the Gascon was actually really good. I like that. So that's a good wine. It's a good choice. Excellent choice for tonight. So let's see what we have going on Twitch. And CM Cinder, yeah, we're gonna toast you in a little bit, because CM Cinder, she met out pretty good last night on a Twitch stream. I don't want to spoil it, but I'll tell you about it later. Well, she's that's pretty cool. A little envious there. Not really. I'm happy for her. All right, let's go ahead and open this up. A little toaster. And this comes right off. This is really sharp, apparently. I don't want to get my fingers caught in it. Okay, let's go ahead and give this a try. We'll open this up, see how it works. By the way, this is called Ivation, is the brand name. It probably goes over several brands, but you always want to hold the bottle when you're doing this. Tight cork, but it came out pretty well. And, of course, to remove the cork, you just take it out like this. I should have had this on a close-up, shouldn't I? I wasn't paying attention. Sorry about that. All right, let's set the cork aside. And this is the cork. Very nice cork. Some grapes there. That's interesting cork. Okay. All right, now let's go ahead and try it with the aerator. Put the aerator in there, also from the set. Make sure it's in there nice and flush, nice and tight. And then, to hold the grape nectar, I have my genuine Galway Irish crystal glass from Ireland. Given to me by my employers at buy2wayradios.com. Normally I hold it out this way and go, but tonight I went like this and went, and there's a reason for that. And I'll explain it to you in just a little bit. Yeah, if you notice, you probably have already guessed. If you notice, you don't see the mic there. The mic's not there. Yeah, we'll talk about that a little bit. All right, we're going to pour a little bit of this wine into the glass. Set this aside for a moment. And we're going to get a little swirl. And we're going to let it open up just a little bit more. And you see all the little bubbles there. That's pretty cool. I have this on the... There we go. See all the bubbles there. Very dark complexion. Very, very dark ruby red color. Looks like a nice ruby. And it's... Looks like you see a little... I don't know if you can tell there, but there's some tears. Has some legs to it. All right. Not that really means much. Some people think it means a lot, and I don't know that it really means all that much. But actually, there's something to be said for that. If they're really, really a lot of legs to that thing, usually sometimes it's an indication of a high alcohol content. I don't know. That's what some people say. I don't know. And, okay, where were we? All right, we're going to set that aside, and let me check the chat one more time. Everybody all set? And we'll learn a little bit more about this wine. Now, I checked around online, and of course, as I mentioned before, this Dacchino company, the distributor, distributes basically to Trader Joe's. This is kind of an exclusive wine to Trader Joe's, and at a pretty decent price. Now, I checked around checking prices online, and Vivino said it's about $10. I checked around. Wine Searcher had it. They listed it where is it? I think it's $14, they said. Prices averaging. Okay, they're saying that I'm reading this from their site. The most recent global average price we have for the Ruggero di Bardo Susumignolo Puglia is IGT is $15 USD, and that's of November 2021. $15 for this, and the 750 milliliter bottle, apparently. That's what they have there, but that's not what I paid for. That's not what I paid for. What I paid for this bottle of wine And I've got the receipt right here somewhere. Here it is. The original trip. It's under my show notes, which you will probably ignore for the rest of the night. My receipt from Trader Joe's has the Ruggiero di Bardo Sicilmagnello Puglia at $9.99. That's what I paid for it, and plus whatever the tax was. Although it was an alcohol tax, I bought three bottles of wine. There's an alcohol tax of $2.14, so you'll break that down. I, you know, probably close to a buck for the alcohol tax. $9.99, so about $10, $11 with the tax. Without the tax, $9.99. Who's counting pennies? Except the government. Oh, that's right. We don't talk about that stuff here. Okay. I'm joking. I'm joking. Don't worry about it. It's all good. All right. Where was I? Oh, yes. Let's learn a little about more about this wine in terms of what's in it, because it does say it's a red wine. If you look in the back, it's a red wine. And that's all it says, red wine. It doesn't tell you what's in the wine, except we assume that it's – assume they're grapes. Well, Sicilmagnello is a type of grape. Interesting, because it's not one that's widely known or mentioned at all. So this is kind of an interesting, it's kind of a rare variety of grape. This is a varietal. Sicilmagnello is a varietal. So this is not really a blend. This is a red wine. I think I did say blend at the very beginning of the show, because usually when I see red wine and it doesn't say anything else, I just kind of assume it's a blend. But then I look and it says Sicilmagnello. It's like, I'm not really familiar with that grape. I need to become more familiar with it. I did not have time to really do a lot of research in it, but I do understand that it is a very rare variety grape from Puglia. So that's in this Puglia is in Italy, and it is pronounced Sicilmagnello. And actually, from Reverse Wine Snob, they have a little bit of information on. I'm reading from their website. It says the wine is matured in a combination of stainless steel and wooden vats. This variety is grown exclusively in southern Italy. So that's, there you go. That's the information I have on it. Okay, so we're going to go ahead and give it a little bit of a taste here. I'll give it a whiff first. I'm getting some blueberry. Blueberry and maybe a hint of blackberry. Let's give it a taste. Wow. Quite oaky. There is some tannin in the wine. There are some tannins, but it is not as tannic as I was expecting it to be, because I'd heard some reviews that it's somewhat tannic. It doesn't taste like, I think the tannins are a little on the soft side. There are tannins in the wine, soft. This is a semi-dry wine, I think. It's not dry, it's not sweet. It's kind of sweet when you put it in your mouth, but as it goes down and in the finish, the finish is actually rather dry. Very interesting wine. And it is very bold. Let's start again. Sweet on the tongue. Very dry finish. And it's oaky, very oaky. And I'm getting there is blueberry. I'm getting some blueberry in this wine, tasting it. A hint of vanilla and maybe just a hint of tobacco here. This is a busy wine. There's a lot going on here. a lot going on in this wine. Okay. Blueberry, some blackberry, and some vanilla and a little bit of tobacco. There are a lot of flavors in this wine. This is a wine that's got a lot of flavor packed into it. Really interesting stuff, but it's a very smoky, oaky kind of taste. And I want to say in some ways it kind of reminds me a little bit of the Cooper & Thief wine that I had before, although I didn't like the Cooper & Thief wine that I tried before. This one's a little bit different. It's very bold, though. I don't know that I could drink a lot of this wine. I think it needs to open up a little more. I don't want to overdo it with the wine right off the bat because, it's a very bold wine. I don't know. Interesting wine. We'll have to let it open up some more and see how it plays out. In the meantime, let's go back to the chat for a moment. Okay, all quiet. Let's go ahead and pair it with some food. How about that? I'm going to pair it with some food a bit. And Ed, hope you're doing well. I got a counter that's going on its way out to you here shortly that you won a few weeks ago. And I was trying to send it out this week. I have everything together. I was trying to send it out this week, and I couldn't make it to the post office. But I had some things going on at work, a lot of just very, very busy stuff. And it snowed again here this morning, or late last night. So really, really interesting stuff going on out there. Snow 3 weekends in a row. Can you believe that? Okay, so let's go to camera 3, and let's try it with a steak. The steak I'm sure is probably rather cold by now, but we're gonna give it a taste. I'll pour a little bit more wine for this. I like this bottle, though. But it does remind me... it reminds me of the Cooper & Thief bottle. Because the Cooper & Thief bottle is very much like this one. And as you recall, I did not like that wine. See if this fares better. Steak is great. You know, the thing about this wine, I think this is wine you don't drink on its own, but you have it with some food. If you have it with a good steak, it's with the steak, it makes the steak taste a little sweeter. It makes the meat taste sweeter. And that's not a bad thing. It's just kind of a sweet taste. It makes for a sweet tasting steak. And I don't mean sweet like with sugar on it, but you know, it kind of brings out a really, really sweet, meaty taste to it. It's very interesting. I think it pairs pretty well with the steak, actually. I should try that again. I kind of like that. I'm not sure about the wine by itself, though, but with the steak, I could see serving this with a steak. Let's see. Of course, the steak is good, too. I'm not saying that because I grilled it. My wife marinated it. Yeah, I think it goes pretty well with the steak. It really makes the steak stand out. It accentuates the steak quite a bit. I think it's very good with the steak. Let me go ahead and clear the palate a little bit. Let's try it with the spaghetti and the meatballs. Now, if you've ever had spaghetti and meatballs from let's go back to camera 3 here. If you ever had the spaghetti and meatballs from Buca di Beppo, if you've never had it, then you should try it. But that's very Italian. Buca di Beppo, very, very Italian. I like to roll my... I can't do this well with my left hand. I'm really more right-handed, but not too bad. Okay. Let me see if it stays on the fork. Switch hands. Mm. This is cold too, but... Mm. And the meatballs, huge meatballs. Really big. Like tennis ball size. Mm. Okay. Once again, it works well with the meatball, but I think it also works really well with the, which camera am I on? I'm on this one. Never know which camera I'm on anymore. It works really well with the sauce, with the tomato sauce in here. So I like it with the, I think it does accentuate the tomato sauce somewhat. I think complements that, you should say. Complements the tomato sauce and the meatball, works very well with that. And it makes the meatball taste just a hint sweeter, I think. I'm going to clear the palate one more time. And CM Center is excited. I know. I can tell. CM Center is excited. And Amy says, I love the garnish on the spaghetti. Yeah, I know. Isn't that great? I'm going to have to, the mint came from, my wife has a mint. She's got a potted plant she's growing mint, her own mint, and that came from her plant. Let's go back to camera three. Let's try it with the Cracker Barrel sharp cheddar. Now, a sharp cheddar, a bold wine, and as we said, what was it, last week or the week before that, it should work. A sharp cheddar and bold wine. Do you want, a wine like this probably goes really good with really aged cheeses. Just my guess. Works with the cheddar. Mm. Yeah, I like that. Wow, nice. That is nice. I do like that. Works well with the sharp cheddar. I like that very much. I'm going to clear the palate one more time. And Dan says, I feel like I need an Irish wine goblet. That's exquisite. It is. It's showing a little wear here because of I've been using it almost exclusively for the last 2 years on this show, and it's starting to show just a little bit of wear. I got a nice set of six. My employers at buy2wayradios.com 1 year. They're really, really great people, very generous people, and they would give us gifts at the end of every year, and they gave. Me this really, really nice, I don't know how much it costs, so I didn't even want to hazard a guess, but they gave me this really nice set of six crystal goblets. These are Galway, you can look it up, a Galway, and that's from Ireland, imported from Ireland, and it also came with a carafe, a really nice crystal carafe. Now, I think did we use the carafe on this episode or on this show once? Not this episode. 14.5% alcohol by volume. This is going to hit hard. Okay, so, it was a really nice crystal. I have to bring it on the show sometime to show everybody. It was really nice. Maybe we should open it up and use it for the show when I have to have a wine that has to be opened up. And it's a really nice carafe. That's why I don't like to use it that much. It's not because I know they're meant to be used, but I don't want anything to happen to it. It's so nice. You know, I kind of want to display it, you know. I got a story about that sort of thing, but that's for another time. Did I clear the palate? Let's do it again, just in case. Dan, it's a really nice set. It really is. From Galway. Galway. So let's go back to camera three. Let's try it with the Trader Joe's Double Cream Gouda. Now you would expect that any Trader Joe's wine, any wine from Trader Joe's would probably go just fine with the Double Cream Gouda. never want to assume anything. You know, I have this saying, the positivity person that I am, never assume anything and always assume the worst. But that's just me. All right. Ooh, nice and creamy. Okay. Now, the interesting thing about the double cream Gouda, you know, Gouda has a slightly, you know, just a slightly smoky flavor to it sometimes. I guess you could say that. A little more of an aged cheese, but kind of a slightly smoky flavor. I think this wine goes pretty good with a smoky cheese because this wine does taste... It does have a smoky taste to it. It has an oaky and a smoky taste to it. I think it pairs pretty well with this cheese. Now, Gouda is not a really smoky cheese in the sense of a lot of these hard cheeses are that that are really really smoked or smoky. Gouda is of course a softer, milder cheese, but it does have at least in my opinion, has a slight twinge of smokiness to it sometimes, depending on the brand. This is nothing like some of those really sharp cheeses that are smoky. Let's go back to camera 3 one more time, and let's try it with... Now, this is going to be interesting. This is the creamy Toscano with Merlot, and that purple edge on it is the Merlot. And as I understand it, it's made with real Merlot. I don't know, but that's what I've been told. And it is sold at Trader Joe's as well. I think all these cheeses, well, two of the three of these cheeses came from Trader Joe's. I think the Cracker Barrel just came from the local Harris Teeter supermarket. Whoop, lost it. Let's get another one. There we go. All right, I have one right here. Now, this is a hard cheese, and it has kind of a wine edge to it, literally. So I'm expecting this one to go pretty well with this wine. Let's see. And it does. It does. It actually works for it. It's gone pretty well with everything we tried it with here. Now, I would say, now I'm going to reserve my final review for the end of the show, but I would say off the bat, by itself, and right opening up the bottle before it's had a chance to open up, I can't say I really like this wine that much. But after it's opened up, and at the end of the show, I'll give you my final review. However, I do think that it pairs very well with food. So what I would say is that if you're going to use this wine, don't buy this wine just to serve at parties where there's no food or just to drink straight out of the bottle. You might like it. Some people like it. I bet you Charlotte from Charlotte would like it. She's the one that recommended the what is now I consider the notorious Cooper and Thief wine that I did not like. But I didn't, you know, the Cooper Thief wine, I was drinking a lot of it by itself. I think I did pair it with some food. But this is not a wine I would drink by itself. This is a wine I would definitely pair with food. And I think I said that last week about the last wine. I think this is another one. I've been opening up some really bold wines lately. I'm going to have to switch gears and go back to a Pinot or something for a while. get a break to some of these. And I'm Italian, too. But this is not your typical Italian grape here. This is, once again, this is kind of a specialty grape. So, you know. All right, so let's see. Dan, I tell you what, look up Galway and check out their crystal, Irish crystal. Tom Antio's in the chat, and Tom Antio is rating us on Twitch with a party of five. Tom Antio, thank you so much. And it's welcome to the chat. He says hi, and I'm hi right back at you. And he's rating with a party of five. Well, thank you very much, Tom Antio. And for those who are not familiar with raids, it's something that's exclusive to Twitch. It's when another streamer is ending their stream, and everybody that is in the stream with them, everyone in the chat, they all go at the end of the stream, they go over and switch over and move to, you know, kind of go into another stream. And in this case, my stream. Tom Antio was streaming earlier, his Tom Antio stream. He was doing that earlier, and they were playing Lego Batman. And I was watching his stream for a while. And they came here. It was called a raid. They raided the stream with everybody coming in. Great. Thanks for being here, Tom. Thank you very much. Now, Tom Antio, I did congratulate him last week. I'll do it again. He became a Twitch affiliate officially last week or so. And how's that working for you, Tom? Congratulations, by the way. I know it's something you've been working on for quite a while. Okay, so let's go back. We've done the pairing, and like I said, it seems to have paired pretty well with everything. Dan says, I shall. And, I love crystal goblets. You know, they say that wine tastes better in the right proper glass that's made for wine. And when I was younger, I didn't really buy into that too much. And I would just drink it out of, you know, a regular glass or, you know, whatever. But there is something to be said for that. And I don't know what it is. The glass, physically the glass, I don't think it transfers anything to the wine or vice versa per se. I think there's a lot to do with the shape where you're able to, you know, in a goblet like this, you're able to capture a lot of the, keep a lot of the flavor, hold it in, capture a lot of the aromas. And maybe that's just a lot of BS, I don't know, but I think it's psychological in some ways. I don't know. I could be completely wrong. I'm not a sommelier. I'm just an everyman who likes to drink wine. And a lot of the experts will say it, the glass makes a lot of difference. So that's why I try to keep a good quality glass here when I'm doing this wine tasting and reviews. That's why I do that. But I think there is something to be said for that, because I have poured wine in cheap glasses, and then I pour it into a really nice glass, and then somehow it tastes a little better in the nice glass. Psychological? I don't know. There's something to it, I guess. I don't know. What do you think? How do you think the glass can affect the wine, or the wine can affect the glass? You know, and the type of glass that you poured it. It looks classier. I'll say that it is definitely classier. And I really love this goblet set, by the way. It's really nice. And here's to my employers at BuyTwoWayRadios.com. I'll drink to them. Of course. All right, so we've got some birthdays to toast, some anniversaries, and we'll get to some fun. And Ed, if you're still around, I think you wanted to see the damn film, and I have it queued up to show just in case you wanted to watch it tonight. I did not queue up. I had another film that I could have shown. I did not queue it up tonight, and I probably should have, and that was people haven't seen that for a while, and that was an animated film I did with hand-drawn cell animation at the time. That was called Harry's Climb. I did all the original music and everything, but I don't think I have that one queued up tonight. But I do have the damn film queued up. Or I have some other films. If anyone wants to see any films, I'll give you a list, and then you can decide what film you want me to show, and I'll show it. These are all our own original films, our own original productions. I'll give you a choice. In the meantime, let's go ahead and queue up the fireworks. Fireworks queued, and let's go ahead and toast some birthdays. I'm excited to toast some birthdays tonight. And the first birthday that I would like to toast, you know, my notes are over here. I put them all in my notes here. First birthday that I'd like to toast is for my good friend Christina. Christina, who is the wife of my good friend Jim. Christina is she's wife and mother of, she's a wife and mother and just a really, really sweet all-around person. She's really, really a nice person. And when, you know what, Jim is one of the guys that was in our group making films. I've known Jim since grade school, pretty much, middle school. And we started making films together, like middle school, early or high school, that sort of thing. And I've known Jim for, wow, decades. And as a matter of fact, the film, if you watched the film last week that we showed, the Analyst, Jim was the guy who shot it. He was the cinematographer in the back seat in the film. So, and his wife, Christina, really, really sweet lady. I want to say, Christina, your birthday is today. Whoa, it's today. Happy birthday to Christina. I knew that. Of course I knew that. I'm just being dramatic. Anyway, Christina, here's to you. Happy, happy birthday. And may you have many, 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 many more. I tripped on the mini, so I'll toast you again. Happy birthday, Christina. Christina Newton Chamberlain. The next birthday I want to toast is for my good friend Rob. Rob, oh my goodness, Rob, he's quite a guy. He's a really nice guy. And Rob works for Libsyn. Libsyn is a company that does podcast hosting. And Rob, and I've mentioned Rob many times on the show, really nice guy, good friend. And he's, I first met Rob when he was working for doing the Microsoft Zune, working for the Zune network. And when I was putting up my podcast, The Force Field, and I was having some trouble with getting it up on the Zune platform. And he was really nice enough to walk me through it and help me out with it and everything like that. And we chat over the years and things like that. And the thing is, I never really got to meet him in person until I went to my first PodFest. And I was really excited to meet him. And Tommy and I both met him there at PodFest. And it was a real honor to meet Rob. And he is just as nice in person, every bit, if not more so nice in person, as he is virtually, as I've known him before that. And Rob and Todd Cochran do the New Media Show. Now, Rob's been a podcaster. He's been podcasting a little bit longer than me, too. So I've been podcasting since 2006. He's been podcasting longer than that. And so he's a real veteran. And he is one of the few podcasters in their Podcaster Hall of Fame. Yes, there is a Podcaster Hall of Fame, believe it or not. Rob is in it. So is Todd Cochran. So Rob and Todd do the New Media Show together every week. And they both know their stuff. They're very much in the industry. Rob, your birthday is tomorrow. Tomorrow in 1 hour. 1 hour is going to be Sunday. Sunday the 30th. Can you believe it's already the 30th of January already? Goodness. So, Rob, I want to say to you, happy, happy birthday, and may you have many, 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 many more. To Rob Greenlee, I'll toast you again. To Rob. Yeah, you can clip that if you want. You're watching now or later. I've got another birthday to toast. This is for my good friend Ellen. Ellen worked in the accounting. In the accounting department at WOFL, as you know, I worked at WOFL Channel 35, known as Fox 35 now, in Orlando, Florida. Huge market. And I worked there for 12 years. Worked with Ellen for many, many years there. She worked in accounting. And Ellen, your birthday is Wednesday, this coming Wednesday the 2nd, February 2nd. Here's to Ellen. To Ellen Williams, happy, happy birthday, and may you have many, 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 many more. To Ellen, I have two more birthdays to toast. One is for William, Bill. I don't call him William. I call him Bill. Bill, who is the husband of my wife's cousin, Bill Smith. Your birthday is this coming Friday, the 4th, February 4th. To Bill Smith, happy, happy birthday, and may you have many, 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 many more. I have to get on all the minis, you know. One more birthday to toast, and this is from my good friend Don. Don and I go way back to OnForce, our days working in IT. I've done a lot of different things in my life. I'm not going to go into all that tonight. But yeah, I've had a few careers in my life. Don was part of the force field. When we worked for OnForce, and I started the Force Field podcast, that's when I first got into podcasting, and I started a forum up there, Force Field Forums, and I had quite a dedicated core of listeners for the Force Field podcast, all IT professionals. Don was in IT. Don, your birthday is this coming Friday, the 4th also. So to Don Ridings, happy, happy birthday, and may you have many, 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 many more. To Don Ridings. Okay, I think that does it for birthdays this week. This is what we're drinking. Once again, this is called the Ruggiero di Bardo Susumeniello Puglia. It's a 2020 wine. It's 14.5% alcohol by volume, and I will give you my final review at the end of the show. Starting to loosen up a little bit. How about you? Everybody starting to loosen up a little? I know I am. That Gascon Malbec, by the way, that Gascon Malbec is really good, Dan. And I'm sure you already know that. So Dan says, I just visited the Galway Crystal site. Beautiful glasses. Thanks, Rick. I feel like you're able to aerate more and create the perfect wine environment in those glasses. And he's got a little wine glass emote. I think so. Maybe aeration in the glass helps a little bit too. I didn't really think about that. Could be. I think there's definitely something to be said for having. Now, I drink wine in crystal glasses a lot. That's mostly what I drink out of are crystal glasses of some sort. And we have a set of crystal snifters. And I don't say I. It's like Chi and I. We got them for a anniversary gift or wedding or something. We've had them for years and years. And a really nice set of crystal, like, snifter glasses. And I use that to drink the wine of, because I don't usually drink brandy or anything. They look like brandy glasses, but they're made of cut crystal, and they're really, really nice. And I think we chipped one. I think she had to throw one away because it got chipped on top and it was not safe to drink out of. And then we have one chipped on the bottom. But so it tells you that they've been through some wear and tear. But I love those glasses, and I drink out of those a lot. Anyway, where was I? Oh, yes, let's do some. What's on the next? National days, right? We only have a few national days, but what national days they are. And CM Cinder, I hope you have a glass ready of some sort, because one of these national days is, kind of special to you and me, right? Okay, so national days. The first national day, I got that messed up, didn't I? What happened to my national days here? They got messed up. I'm looking at the national days from last week. All right, let me pull up the national days. For some reason, they didn't. I don't know what happened here. They didn't go into my show notes as they should have. Let me look up National Day Calendar. Okay, so where I'm going is nationaldaycalendar.com. Nationaldaycalendar.com is the official website where a lot of people get their national days from. I'm going there right now. That's weird. I know I copied it. I cut and pasted everything in my notes here. What happened to my notes? That is really, really weird. That's really strange. Okay, so interesting. I don't know what happened there. Not going to worry about it now. Okay, let's go back to National Calendar Day. Let's look at the January. I'm looking at the January national days. I'm going through this site live right now. And going down to January 29th, 2022. By the way, this is Marlo Anderson's site. Marlo is the CEO of NationalDayCalendar.com, friend of mine there. January 29th, National Corn Chip Day. National, you like corn chips? I love corn chips. I can't eat them anymore. I won't go into that. But for, you know, I'm not supposed to, the doctor says I'm not supposed to eat a lot of these hard corn products anymore. But National, I love corn. And that's the thing. We threw out a bunch of tacos. She had these taco shells this evening, and I had to throw them out in the backyard for the animals. I call them the animals. It's intentional. Sometimes it wakes my words up, but this time it's intentional. So I put them out there for the animals, as I affectionately call them, because they were outdated. And they were outdated because we didn't eat them, and we didn't eat them because, well, for one thing, Tommy loves tacos. He does that, but he can't eat them for different reasons right now, health reasons. But me, I'm not supposed to be eating anything hard corn like that, like taco hard taco. I can eat the soft shells, but I'm not supposed to have the hard taco shells, and I'm not supposed to be eating the chips anymore, which is really terrible because when we go out to eat in a Mexican restaurant, I love those nachos, and I can't eat them. National Corn Chip Day, I'll drink to that anyway. You know what? I forgot my National Day stuff. Let's get the National Day wave going. There we go. Do I have to toast it again? Okay, National Corn Chip Day. One hand on the bottle, the other hand on the glass. That's the way you do it. Just in case you might want to clip that. Okay. January 29th, and this is where CM Center comes in. And January 29th is National Puzzle Day. Yes, it is National Puzzle Day. I told her about it before, so she knew. But National Puzzle Day is today. And I do have something on National Puzzle Day here, and this is coming straight from the National Day Calendar website, is that this was created in 2002, I think, where they started this National Puzzle Day. And this is talking about any kind of puzzles, you know, like Sudoku and crossword puzzles and jumbles and things like that. I used to do the jumbles when I was a kid. Those were kind of fun. And, of course, jigsaw puzzles. And as you may know, CM Cinder and I have just recently started, the very beginning of this month, a new Twitch channel called The Puzzle Zone. And The Puzzle Zone is where we are. Let me see if I have it. Yeah, here it is right here. Puzzle Zone. The Puzzle Zone is where we put together a puzzle, and you can get in the chat and chat with us and help us solve the puzzle. And these are they're jigsaw puzzles. We put together in different sizes. Sometimes they're 1,000 piece, sometimes they're 300 piece, sometimes they're, I think the smallest one we've done is a 300 piece so far. No, did we do a 150 piece puzzle? I think we did. We did a 300 piece and a 500 piece, and we may be doing some dueling 150 piece puzzles soon. But we do these on Sundays and Thursdays on twitch.tv/thepuzzlezone. You can check it out. Very informal. You just come in and sit in the chat. You don't have to chat if you don't want to. You can just sit in the chat and just hang out and watch and listen. And we just talk about stuff. That's all. Just talk about stuff, but it's a lot of fun. You can jump in and participate, and you can help us solve the puzzle, find where the pieces go and solve it. It's a lot of fun. We have a good time with it. Anyway, that's the Puzzle Zone, Sundays and Thursdays on twitch.tv/thepuzzlezone. So that's what we've got going on there. Here's to National Puzzle Day. I'll drink to that. The National Puzzle Day. It's also National Seed Swap Day. The last Saturday in January is National Seed Swap Day. Swapping seeds. I used to sell seeds when I was a kid. That's a funny story there. National Seed Swap Day. Why not? I'm not telling stories. Well, again, why not? I can tell this story. Oh, I forgot the wave, didn't I? Okay. National Seed Swap Day. Okay. Quick story. It's got to be quick. When I was a kid, I was always very enterprising, trying to come up with different ways to make money. And lots of times I somehow, one way or another, was able to sucker my sister Gina and my brother Mike into helping me with this. Okay. And a couple of years we did this where we would get, this was back in the mid 60s. Yeah, it tells you how old I am. We would order these seeds. You'd order a box of seeds. I think it was Burpee Seed Company did this. Is that what Burpee Seeds? I think it was what it was. But the seed company would have this program going on where you could go out and sell seeds. You sell packets of seeds, and you can make a certain amount of money. This was mainly for the kids. You know, make some money selling seeds. You get a few cents off each packet of seeds you sell. I think most of the seeds went for at the time for like 25, 35 cents a packet or something. You know, it was pretty inexpensive. And you make a few pennies off the seeds, and then if depending on how many packets of seeds you sold, then you could qualify to earn prizes. You know, it sends you the catalog of all these different prizes. They're really cheap junk that you can earn. I actually did. I think we did win something. We had a little toy printing press or something. I think that came from the seeds. But we would go off. We had a little red wagon. Yes, we did. We had a little red wagon. We'd load up the seeds. We'd order a whole big case of these different seeds, different flower and vegetable seeds. We put them in a little red wagon. This was in Salisbury, North Carolina, in the mid-60s. And we would pull this wagon up and down the hill, everywhere, all around the neighborhoods, and go door to door selling seeds. Believe it or not. And we sold a few. We sold quite a few seeds. It's easier when your kids, you know, the parents come, you know, the lady or the guy comes to the door. It's like there's a little kid selling seeds. And it's like, okay, well, you know, he's a little kid selling seeds. It's 35 cents a pack. Why not, you know, buy a couple packs of seeds? And a lot of people were into gardening and, you know, that sort of thing anyway. And we were actually in a fairly decent neighborhood for that. So, you know, people had land. They all had their gardens. And so it was easier. But we had to go pretty far because some of these houses were spaced a little bit far apart for us little kids, and we'd have to drag that wagon full of seeds all over the place. I'm not making this up. A true story, okay? And if my sister Gina was in the chat, she could vouch for that. She could probably remember things, a little details about it that I don't remember. But what I do remember is dragging that wagon all over the place, selling seeds, going door to door and selling seeds to people. And then whatever seeds you had left over, you either had to send them back or we had, if it was past that time, then my parents had to buy them. Because at that point, they wouldn't accept them back because it had been too long. Selling seeds. I remember that. All right, here's the National Seed Swap Day. Last Saturday in January. That story went a lot longer than I planned. I didn't even plan to tell it. True story. Just kind of dumb. Anyway. CM Sender said, oh, Tom Andio says, thanks, no complaints here. I missed that. I'm really behind on my chat here on Twitch. CM Sender says, we could have done a puzzle stream today. Ha ha. Yeah, we could have. We could have done a puzzle stream today, but we didn't. We're going to do one tomorrow night, though. I've got to go get a puzzle for it. We don't have one ready. All right, what else we got going on here? Oh, yeah. One more national day. National day, last national day here is, I got to pull it up again. January 30th, which is tomorrow in about 44 minutes. January 30th is national, you ready for this, folks? National Croissant Day. Yes, National Croissant Day. I love croissants. You like croissants? I love croissants, especially when you get, you know, they sell these croissants like in Sam's Club or Costco or whatever, the big bulk. And then you heat them up for a few seconds. I recommend heating them up for about 6 to 8 seconds just to get them warm. You don't want to overheat them because they overheat pretty quick. about 8 seconds or so, heat them up, put a little butter on them, and that's what's made me the man I am today. Yep, the croissants. I love croissants. Easy to eat. Very difficult to lose later. National Croissant Day. I'll drink to that. And I think that does it for the national days. All right. Once in, and I'm sure everybody's happy about being done with the national days. Yeah. All right, what else we got going on here? Okay, so we've got, I don't know if I'm going to talk about theme tonight. I should. It's an open chat. Oh, I want to give a shout out. I almost forgot about that. I do want to make a point giving a shout out to someone. I want to give a shout out to Loyal. This is to Loyal Moses. This is a special shout out to Loyal Moses. Now, you probably don't know who Loyal Moses is, especially if you're not on Twitch, but you're about to find out. Loyal Moses is a Twitch streamer. And what he does is he streams about, I'm going to read it directly from his About Me section here, according to his About Me section. Sharing the excitement of 3D printing, one live stream at a time. Follow and subscribe to help build our 3D printing community. Hashtag 3D printing. I'm reading that verbatim. Loyal Moses does 3D printing. And I stumbled accidentally last night. Oh, no, the square guy. Now, is the square guy here tonight? Seam Center says, I got to head off soon. It's okay. I've got to close up soon anyway myself. All right. So that square guy who I've talked about many, many times, he and Darcy do Lego building. They do Lego building, and I love their streams, and it's fun to hang out. They have a great community of subscribers and followers. They're really nice people, and it's always fun to hang out in that Square Guys stream. Now, I was checking around because I was in the market for a 3D printer, and in particular, I was on, I don't know if you know who Chris Barillo is. Chris, you know, I've been following his tech streams. He's part of Locker Gnome. Actually, he's a CEO. He was a CEO of Locker Gnome. And I've been following him since the Force Field podcast back in 2007, 2008. And I was interested in some of the stuff he does with 3D printing because I was looking to purchase a 3D printing, a 3D printer, and I had asked him what his take was, and he suggested a specific brand, make and model of a 3D printer to try. And I thought, okay, that's interesting. It's a Prusa Mini Plus. And I wanted to find out more about it, and I wanted to get other opinions about it. So I was in that Square Guys stream, but I was also lurking around, you know, just kind of checking around Twitch and looking at, because there are other people on Twitch that do 3D printing, and they do streams, live streams for their 3D printing stuff. So I was just kind of lurking around a little bit, and I just kind of stumbled across this streamer. His name is Loyal Moses. And he wasn't doing any active 3D printing at the moment, but what he was doing was, I just kind of happened. It was weird. It was almost like Providence or something. I just happened to stumble in, and he was doing a giveaway because he had been giving away some helmets that he made from The Mandalorian, the TV show The Mandalorian. And he had made some helmets with his 3D printer, some life-size helmets that you could wear, and he was giving some of them away. And he was not only giving away helmets, but he was also giving away a 3D printer. And so I jumped in the stream, and I was saying, okay, well, you know, he's got a lot of experience in 3D printing. I said, well, what do you think of this Prusa printer. Well, it turns out he was giving one away that night. He was going to give away the helmets, and he was giving away a 3D printer. I thought, well, this is kind of cool. So I subscribed and I followed him I followed him, and then I entered the contest to see if I could win the 3D printer. So he's giving away the helmets and everything like that. I didn't win the helmets. And then I was thinking about it while I was watching the stream, and I thought, you know, CM Center's been wanting a 3D printer for a long time. She's been begging, she's been wanting to get a 3D printer. So I contacted CM Center. I said, hey, you might want to check this out. If you really want a 3D printer, this guy's giving away a 3D printer in his live stream. So why don't you check it out and put in an entry and see what happens? So she said, okay. So she did. She followed him, and then she put in an entry. And wouldn't you know it, CM Center won the 3D printer. I'm like, oh my goodness. And next thing I know, she's going, I won. She won the 3D printer. So to CM Center, I want to say congratulations. Boy, we need some fireworks for that, don't we? Congratulations for winning a 3D printer on the live stream, on the Twitch live stream, on Loyal Moses wide stream. Congratulations. Then he was also giving away some spools of filament for the 3D printer. And he gave one away. The person who won one of the spools said, hey, I want to give this to CM Center to go with her printer. So she's not only receiving a 3D printer, she's receiving a spool of filament to go with it. So she made up pretty well last night. I want to say congratulations again. CM Center and her 3D printer. Pretty interesting. That was, wow. But what I want to do is, and the reason I brought this out here is because I want to give a shout out to Loyal Moses. And I say, if you can, follow him, subscribe to him, Loyal Moses. He knows his stuff for 3D printing, and check it out. That's what he does there. He talks about 3D printing and shows us stuff, and you learn a lot about, if you've been thinking about getting a 3D printer, or maybe just want to know a little bit more about it, follow him, check him out. Really nice guy, and he definitely knows his stuff, and the helmets that I saw that he made are really impressive. I have to say, I was really impressed with the work that he did doing that. So to Loyal Moses, here's a toast to you, to Loyal Moses. Anyway, yeah, CM Center, she's happy. She's excited. She's been excited about this. That's really, really cool stuff. All right, let's go back to... let me check out Facebook for a minute. Okay, kind of quiet on Facebook. All right, so this is what we're drinking. Once again, this is the Ruggero di Bardo Susumeniello. Susumeniello is a grape. Well, you know, I might do another thing on the Susumeniello grape and maybe talk about it one of these days. Maybe learn a little bit more about it because I think it would be kind of cool to do that. All right, so that brings us to, oh, yes, the films. All right, so, Ed, are you still in the chat? Do you still want to see the damn film? And, you know, I could show it if you want to. I don't want to show if you're going to miss it and not see it. But anybody else who might want to see it, you know, I can show it there. But I have a list of films, and everybody can decide what they want to see for a film. I'm going to show a film here. Let me make sure I have the right. And I'll show you what I have to I'll tell you what I have to choose from, film-wise. If I can pull it up again. Yeah, this wine's starting to... 14.5% alcohol by volume. This wine's starting to kick in just a little bit. So I'm going to have to stop and close things down here shortly because it's, it's starting to kick in a little. Starting to feel a little. All right, where was I? Film video. There we go. See, I went up and down and I missed it where I was supposed to pull up the film and video because I'm just busy zoning out here. All right, I've got the damn film queued up, but I do have some other films that I could show instead. I could show the Savco Stringy Art. That's kind of fun. Could show the Cadillac Ranch. That's also a fun little short documentary. I could show the we showed the Miracle Exercise Cube last week. That was a request from Amy, I believe. And let's see what else we have here. I could show just. I tell you what. For starters, let's have a word from our sponsor, okay? Just a little word from our sponsor.
It's no secret kids love bugs, but that's no way to eat roaches. Try Chug-A-Bug, naturally flavored insect drink. Naturally flavored because it contains 90% real insect juice.
Have a cake or just a mug, but you'll never choke on a leg when you chug-a-bug.
Darn fruity, flying, tangy termite.
Yeah, that was Chug-A-Bug. That was another short film we did a long back. Dan says, definitely Cadillac Ranch, interested in seeing Rick's acting chops. You want to see Cadillac Ranch? Okay, we can show Cadillac Ranch. What does everybody else say? You're up for Cadillac Ranch? It's been a while since I've shown that one. Tom Antio's. I love Tom Antio's emotes. I love his Twitch emotes. They're for those who can't see it, they're funny. I've used those emotes already a couple of times. All right. Okay, so Dan says Cadillac Ranch. That's a fun one. So Cadillac Ranch is a kind of a documentary. Yeah, we can show that one. I like Cadillac Ranch. I tell you what, I'll do a quick setup on Cadillac Ranch. What this is my friends and I, Jim Chamberlain, Lawrence Johnson, both who worked on The Analyst. Parrish Sumner, who is a good, very good friend and was a roommate at one time. He's helped us out on a lot of our films in the past as well. And myself, the four of us decided to take a cross-country road trip in a van. We rented a van for 2 weeks and we all took off from work for 2 weeks. Did a cross-country road trip from Orlando, Florida, all the way to California and back and places in between. And we did this in 2 weeks, and we saw a ton of stuff. All four of us were just driving constantly. We'd switch off. We'd drive back and forth. And it is, you know, we just drove constantly almost a 7,000-mile road trip because we went to Los Angeles and we stayed – some of us stayed with my brother, Tony, who passed away some years ago, and some of us stayed with my sister, Gina, while we were there. And then we went up the coast, went up the Pacific Coast Highway and went to San Francisco, and we turned around and came back – to Florida. So it was about almost a 7,000-mile trip. And we stopped and we saw a lot of stuff. We did a lot of stuff in 2 weeks. It was an amazing trip. It was an amazing road trip. It was a trip of a lifetime. We shot a lot of film. I shot a lot of film that's still waiting to be transferred, and hopefully I can get it transferred at some point. But during the course of this, and everybody had their stops, and we planned this trip out for like 4 or 5 months in advance, where we wanted to go, where we wanted to stop, the itinerary, where we were, what routes we were going to take and everything. So it was very, very well planned. We didn't just jump in a car and drive off. We had really planned this road trip out meticulously for months. And one of the stops that Perry wanted to make was to a place called Cadillac Ranch. We didn't know what it was. We had no idea. We'd never heard of it. He wanted to make a stop there because Perry was a photographer, and he wanted to get some photos of it. He thought it would be pretty cool. So we thought, oh, you know, okay, well, we'll stop the Cadillac Ranch. Didn't know anything about it. We found out it real quick. Rude awakening. So when we stopped there, when we finally got there, we got there, and I think when we stopped there, it was early in the morning, and it was like 40 degrees outside, windy, cold. It was really, really – nobody wanted to get out of the van. I mean, we stopped the side of the road. Nobody wanted to get out of the van except Perry because he wanted to go get his pictures. I don't think he wanted to get out of the van. It was cold and nasty out there. So I'm watching him going out there, getting his pictures and everything, and then it just kind of hit me. I said, you know, wouldn't it be kind of fun to make just make this into a joke? And so I took my Super 8 millimeter movie camera that I had with me, and we went out there, and it was just totally off the cuff. We shot this thing. So Dan, I tell you what, for you, Dan says definitely Cadillac Ranch. Interested in seeing Rick's acting chops. Well, I was acting sort of, but it was cold out there. So I was doing some acting and some of it was kind of for real. So I'm going to go ahead and show it. Let me cue this up. Cadillac Ranch. Oh, yeah. I haven't seen that well. Let's go ahead and watch the Cadillac Ranch. I know, Ed, if you're still around, you've seen it. I'm pretty sure you've seen it. And this is original music, by the way, by Jim Chamberlain, whose wife we toasted earlier. All right, Cadillac Ranch. This could be fun. Here we go.
Cornfield, just outside Amarillo, Texas, lies a rather unique piece of art. It is known as the Cadillac Ranch. It was created by a rather unique artist, whose name escapes me right offhand, and I would just as soon forget. During our journey across the West, someone suggested that we stop at the Cadillac Ranch. So we did. And boy, were we surprised. 10 bright pink Cadillacs were stuck in the middle of the ground, in the middle of a cornfield, just outside Amarillo, Texas. And as we gazed at this wonder, we asked ourselves, what color were they under the ground?
Well, here we are at the Cadillac Ranch, just outside of Amarillo, Texas. And as you can see behind me, there are 10 bright pink Cadillacs stuck in the ground. Yep, here we are, the Cadillac Ranch, 10 big Cadillacs just sitting there. 10 Cadillacs. The question is, why? Why are they sitting here, out here in the middle of a field outside of Amarillo, Texas, with nothing around it but grass and sky and the cold wind? The question is, why am I out here? Damn, it's cold out here. Yep. Here we are.
Cadillac Ranch. What the hell am I doing here?
We stayed for approximately 10 minutes. After we had left, we realized that we'd completely wasted our time. Perhaps you can come to the Cadillac Ranch someday and waste your time too.
That was the Cadillac Ranch. Well, let me get an audience reaction from that. Yep. As expected. Okay. Hope you enjoyed that, Dan. It was fun making it. I mean, it was really, really cold out there, for real. That's the first and only episode of the Where the Hell Are We travel series. Dan says, great stuff, Rick. Thanks a lot, Dan. I really do appreciate it. Thank you for the feedback. Thank you. We had fun making it. It was tongue-in-cheek, you know, satirical stuff. And we're just kind of making some light fun of Perry. You know, like, what are you bringing us out here for? But CM Center says, I've seen it before. Ha ha. Yeah, I know you have. A few times. It's okay. So anyway, I was gonna show the damn film. I don't think Ed could stay for the whole thing. Dan says, I did enjoy it. You're the man. Thank you. I appreciate that. So, well, Ed, maybe next week we can show the damn film next week. It's getting late, and I think I've had enough of this. So let me tell you what we're gonna do. We're gonna test this. I've never tried this yet. Let's see what it's like to use this stopper. See how the stopper works. So I think the way the stopper works, you put it over here like this. I don't know. I started to read the instructions in the manual, and then I just kind of, you know, zoned out. But because I usually don't, you know, I'm not halfway through this, not even halfway through the bottle. I think you're supposed to put the stopper in, and then you put this over the stopper somehow, and then you kind of suck the air out until, I don't know, until something. I guess, yeah, it's in there pretty good. Huh. All right. I guess it worked. There you go. All right. I've closed up the wine bottle, much to my wife's relief. I poured a little more in here, but I don't think it's enough to worry. It's okay. Let me give you my final review on this. Final review on this wine. Okay, my final review on this wine, this Susu Maniello. This is the Ruggero di Bardo Susu Maniello. It's a Puglia, from Puglia in Italy. And I think what I said earlier stands as far as drinking the wine is concerned. It's not a wine that I would open and drink by itself, unless you really, really like very bold wines. It's very bold. It has some blueberry in it. It tastes a lot of blueberry. And I love blueberry. So nothing wrong with that. Some blackberry. They had a lot going on in there. Blueberry and some vanilla. It was. It had a little bit, hint of tobacco in it. It was a rather smoky wine, oaky, but also smoky, oaky and smoky. Sound like cartoon characters. Oaky and smoky. And it paired pretty well with everything on here. It paired well with the steak. I think this was a T-bone it was a T-bone steak. It paired pretty well with the spaghetti and the meatball, although the meatball has to be a spaghetti to really appreciate that. With the meat sauce, the sauce was actually part of what helped with the wine to match it up, to pair it up really well. And it went well with all of the cheeses. The sharp cheddar, that was the Cracker Barrel sharp cheddar, the Trader Joe's double cream Gouda, and then the creamy Toscano with Merlot. It paired well with all of those cheeses. I was pretty impressed. But I would not, once again, I would not drink this wine by itself, personally. It's something that you really want to have with food, in my personal opinion. It was reminiscent. It did, in some ways, by itself, it kind of reminded me of the other wine that I tried that I didn't like before, but I like this one better. I like this one a little bit. It actually tastes almost the same in some ways, but it's in the kind of the same kind of bottle. I don't know. It's okay. The wine's okay, but I think it goes really well with the food. But I would not drink it by itself. That's just my opinion. That's my final review on it. Oh yeah, you know, I was going to mention, okay, what happened to my microphone? Okay, so I was using a microphone. It was actually borrowed from my son Tommy Antio, and we've been using it on the Puzzle Zone. I've been switching it off between here and the Puzzle Zone stream, and that's what I've been using ever since I started the wine stream. But I never was really 100% happy with the audio quality, and this is where you come in, because I really would kind of like to take a poll and find out what you think of the audio tonight. What I did switch to was there's this brand new microphone that came out from Rode called the VideoMic Go 2. This is the box for it. VideoMic Go 2 from Rode. This is not a sales pitch, okay? By any sense of the word, this is more of a review. Almost kind of a review, because I don't even know what it sounds like yet. I won't know until after the show and I start editing it for the podcast version. But this thing just came out, and I had been looking around for a different microphone other than the Samsung mic. We were using the Samsung Meteor mic. That's what that was that had been sitting here for all this time. It's a nice microphone. But I wanted something that was for a couple of reasons. One, I kind of want to cut down the noise that the mic was picking up off camera, noise of the computers and things. I have several computers going on in the room. This is in the studio. And although our studio is somewhat sound proofed, you know, I have some sound dampening here in the studio. I have a lot of equipment here, and the mic was picking up a lot of that as well. Also, I do have some areas in the back of the studio that are not sound treated, so it was picking up some of that. And I wanted to switch mics and get a different mic. Well, I came across this, and I've been wanting to get a shotgun mic. And a shotgun mic is a type of microphone that kind of like aims like right at where you're going to be speaking. In other words, it doesn't pick up everything in the room. It's not supposed to. It's supposed to pick up in a narrow pattern more in line with where the person is. Like if I'm right in line with the microphone, that's where it's going to pick up my voice. I'm trying not to get in the weeds with all the technical stuff here, because this isn't really a tech show. So, long story, not quite as long. I was looking around, and I'd been shopping around for different shotgun mics, and there were a couple that I had my eyes on. And then this thing came out. Rode just announced that they were going to come out with this mic. And I thought, well, I could give it a try. And I'd seen some of the preliminary reviews from YouTubers who had gotten a mic to review, in advance of the launch. and as many YouTube influencers will do. The thing is, you can't really trust them all the time, because even though some of them, and I've been in that position before too, and Tommy and I were doing the free stuff show, and we'd get free stuff to review for an honest review. We would always give a fair and honest review, and we were always abiding by the rules, the FTC rules. So we were given, being up front, we got it for free and for in exchange for an honest review, and we would give one. And sometimes the reviews were not that good for some of the stuff that we tried. So they were honest reviews. But some there are some influencers out there that will get free stuff and they'll say, oh, I'll review it. And then they kind of feel like they're sort of obligated to give it a good review and you know, because they got it for free. And you can't always trust them. You can't always trust those reviews. Some of them are you know, just shilling for the company. And so you can't trust those reviews all the time. Sometimes you can, sometimes you can't. Depends on the reviewer. I'm inclined not to do that, not to just trust all the reviews. So, but I was hearing some really good stuff about it, and I thought, okay, well, I'll give it a shot. $100. This mic's $100. It's within my budget. I can go ahead and buy one and see for myself. So this is kind of my own little review. I thought, well, I'll try it on the wine stream. So that's what I did, and I purchased a boom arm for this. It was like $25. It wasn't a big deal. So for $125, I've got a microphone. It's just off camera here. A microphone with a really heavy-duty boom arm for it, and I'm trying it out for the first time to see if it's any good. But I want you to redo the review and tell me if you think it sounds good or not. If it doesn't sound as good as a now, most of you watching the stream, you've been watching for quite a while, and you know what I sound like and what I've sounded like with the other mic, with the Samson Meteor mic. So you can tell me if you like this one better than if you like my sound tonight better than you liked my sound in the past, or if it's worse. So let me know in the comments. Go drinkwithrick.com right there, drinkwithrick.com, and email me at savoyamedia.com, or leave a comment for this episode at drinkwithrick.com and tell me what your thoughts are. How do you think it sounded? Now, the podcast version of this, once again, goes on Monday nights on all these different platforms, and you can listen to the podcast version of it as it will go out on Monday night. And tell me, if you're listening to the podcast later on, just tell me, give me a fair and an honest review. Tell me what you think. Does it sound better? Does it sound worse? Does it sound the same? We're testing this mic out tonight on the show, live on the Saturday Night Wine Stream. Not something that some people normally do when they're testing a mic out, but I'm doing that tonight, live on the Saturday Night Wine Stream. Give me your fair and honest review of how this sounds. And, well, we'll see. If not, if this sounds pretty good, then I'll keep it around for a while. If it doesn't, I'm going to have to find another solution. But in the meantime, let me know. I appreciate, because I value your opinion. I value what you think of this show. And so let me know. I do appreciate it. Okay, so next week, we've got, you know what? I think it's time we opened up that Saddest Day wine. That's been sitting there for quite a while. I think it's time we open that up. I got to get that off the shelf. Put something fresh on the shelf. Some wines fresh. Wines don't go bad that much unless they're bad to begin with. Or they're corked or something. Anyway, my final review on this wine. It's okay. $10, not bad. But I would say, if you're going to buy it, don't buy it for you know, drinking on its own. Buy it to pair with some food. That would be my recommendation. Otherwise, okay. Next week, we might open up that Santa's Day. We'll see. I'm thinking about it more and more. I think that we're going to do that. Unless something else comes along. Unless something better comes along. All right, get a wine recommendation. You can send me wine recommendations to rick@savoyamedia.com. rick@savoyamedia.com. In the meantime, I want to thank everybody for being here with me tonight. Thanks for sticking with me. I really do appreciate it. And I want to thank, Ed for being here. He was here for a moment or two, but he was here. And I appreciate that, Ed. Thank you very much. Dan, thank you for being here. And Amy also, likewise, thank you for being here in the chat. I really appreciate it. And on Twitch, thank you for everyone who joined me on Twitch. All those who were watching, do not join in. It's okay. It's cool. Tom Antio, thanks for being here. Sam Cinder and everyone else who joined me, thanks for joining me tonight. I appreciate each and every one of you. Once again, hey, I got to go get him. He's lying on the floor all the time because he's roadkill. He's roadkill Bill. As Roadkill Bill would say, please don't drink and drive. In his own inimitable way, he's roadkill after all. Please have a great week. Have a safe week. Do not drink and drive. Drink in the comfort of your home, your apartment, your hotel room, your dwelling, wherever it is. Call an Uber, call a Lyft, call a cab, call a friend, or just stay put. It's not worth it. Think about others as well as yourself. Do not drink and drive. Do not text and drive. That's extremely dangerous. Because I want you to have a great week, but most of all, I want you to have a safe week. So you can join me here again next week on the Saturday Night Wine Stream, and we can all get together and drink with Rick. Good night.